Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton, and I am so glad to have you back with me for the podcast. And I have an amazing guest on today who I actually have had on the podcast once before. So you are a return guest, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Linda Hobar. Wait. Linda LaCour Hobar.
That's my writing name.
That's your writing name. Would you call that your pen name?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's just my maiden name.
That sounds really professional though, your pen name. I need a pen name, but I don't enjoy writing. So I enjoy speaking. So I need a speaking name. She is the author of The Mystery of History. And many of you have heard of that curriculum. I'm sure many of you use it. If you don't, you definitely want to check it out. Our family uses it. We use the audio version and we have the book version as well, which we absolutely love. As a matter of fact, I remember when we first started homeschooling and we were looking for a history curriculum that was taught from a biblical perspective, and that was really important to us. And we've talked a lot about this on the podcast, that we wanted something that was going to direct our girls' hearts towards scripture. Mm-hmm. And so many people said, well, you need to get The Mystery of History. And I was like, it has a really cool name, so it must be great. And now I am sitting in the dining room of Linda, and it is so much fun to get to sit here. We, for those of you who have been tracking with us over the past year, past couple of years, you know that we travel a lot. We've been traveling for filming the movie. And so this summer, we've traveled a lot. We have been on the road the entire summer. And we were coming through Memphis, and you had mentioned to me a while back that you lived in the Memphis, Tennessee area. And so I called you up and I said, hey, can we come and see you? And so here we are. Sleeping in
because I'm an empty nester and have three guest rooms. So
right.
I'm like, absolutely, you come on. So
you are. And
it's been fun.
Talk about that a little bit, about your family, because you were a homeschool mom for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, through your children's whole childhood, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got three kids. Tell us about your kids really quickly.
Yes. So we homeschooled for 17 years, and my children are very much grown up now. They're 34, 30, and 26, which means that I was homeschooling back in the late 80s and 90s,
right,
before there was .com. Can you even imagine? There was no internet. There was no cell phones. So I'm a true veteran. Yeah.
I wish sometimes that we were back in those days, because it seems like things would have been simpler in a way. Were they?
Probably yes and no. There was fewer opportunities, which actually left us home more. And at home, we got things done. So there is that beauty, because homeschool does work best at home.
Right.
I would say one of today's homeschool mom's challenges is that there is so much opportunity that you have to kind of be careful, because you could wind up, you're away from the house, and then you're not homeschooling. You're everywhere else but home. So it's
Right.
Sometimes the simpler days, really, there's some legitimate to that.
Yes. And we always are having to find a balance between having our kids socialized, of course, because that was always the big thing for so many years, is, you know, homeschool kids are cooped up in their houses all day, every day of the week, and they need to get out and explore the world and socialize with people. And so it was, I think the tides have shifted, but somehow they've shifted almost to the extreme of being away from the home so much. So we do have to find an important balance.
I think you've
been in the homeschool community for a really long time,
because
when did you first write The Mystery of History, Volume 1?
The year 2000.
Okay.
Yes. I was having a midlife crisis of sorts. I was really turning 40. It was the year 2000. So now y'all all know how old I am. And I was praying for about a year. Really, the Lord was stirring it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the year 2000 that I started writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God has used you in an amazing way to write this curriculum that still, you know, 19 years later, God is still using it. And you've got new revisions coming out. You have a new revision that just came out for Volume 1. And it's beautiful, you guys. I got to see it today. And it's colorful and it's vibrant. And you've just done an amazing job. And it's not just the colorful pictures in it, but the content that is in it. And our family loves The Mystery of History. It's what we use for history.
Yeah.
So
to God be the glory.
That's right. And as I'm here, you know, I've really gotten to hear your heart for families and homeschool moms, and really what God has put on you to help moms like myself, who really are not history buffs like you are. And so you've been able to help me to teach history. But you go to homeschool conventions and you get to speak to families all over the country, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting you back in, I think it was March. We were at Teach Them Diligently in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about some of your workshops, and you said you did one on Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called, what is the name of that
Mary
one?
Mary and Martha Decide to Homeschool.
That's right. And I was so intrigued by it. And I was like, well, I really want to know more about this. And so that's why we're doing a podcast with you today, because I want to talk more about this whole Mary and Martha idea, because I'm not sure yet where I fall in line with, am I a Mary? Am I a Martha? So let's talk about this. Explain to me this workshop that you do on Mary and Martha.
Gist of it. Well, in order to do this subject any justice, we really do need to go to the scripture first and find there's four stories about Mary and Martha in the New Testament. And for those who may not know these sisters, there's Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, and their stories really are fabulous. It still amazes me that we actually have this insight into these New Testament lives. I mean, just how precious they are. So without being too much of a Bible teacher, I am going to just follow the scripture so that we start there, because really we're only deriving and gleaning things that we think we could know about them. I mean, I've not met these ladies, but based on some of their responses to Jesus, this is what I'm picking up. Mm-hmm. So then that all applies to homeschool moms, and we're going to get there. So if I may, start with Luke 10 has the classic story that most people know. That's the one you might be familiar with. You hear pastors preach on it. And this is the story where basically Jesus comes to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their home. And Martha is a bit perturbed with her sister because Martha feels like she's doing all the work in the kitchen. And she literally fusses and kind of wags her finger and like, Jesus, will you not rebuke my sister who's just sitting around listening to you? And so that's the famous story. And the end of that story is that Jesus does not rebuke Mary. He's actually like, no, Martha, you're missing it. She's doing the better thing.
Because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, wanting to glean wisdom from him and learn from him.
Listening. And of course, all my Martha friends will say, somebody had to put the food on the table. And I know that. And we're going to get to that. She has a servant's heart, Martha does. But Jesus does push back on that. He's like, you're missing it. You're missing the heart. You know, don't be so consumed. But another story in the New Testament that's much longer, but we can get a lot of the two gals out of it, is the passages that come out of John 11. And so this is the story. So we've already had the story in John of them just serving Jesus. But this is another story now where Lazarus, their brother, is actually dying. And so Mary and Martha call out to Jesus, like, please come because our brother is so sick, he's dying. Well, interesting. The passage says in John 11:5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So right there, to clear the air, he doesn't favor one sister over the other. He never does. He loves them all. And then it goes on to say, so when he heard that he was sick, as in Jesus, when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. So Jesus purposefully delays his visit to let something horrible happen. The man's just sick. Jesus doesn't go right away. And it's not because he doesn't care. It's because he has a plan. So I think it's very interesting that we see that Jesus just allowed some pain to happen. So Lazarus does die. And then what happens next is that we get a picture of Martha's response first to Jesus once he finally shows up and she's peeved. And then we have a picture of Mary when Jesus shows up. So let me glean a little out of this just with you. It says, now Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. So can't you just picture Martha? She kind of marches over there like Jesus, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, what is critical in this is that Jesus has such a relationship with Martha. He must respect her. Because what he does to respond to her is give her a theology lesson, one that he won't give Mary, but that he'll give to Martha. This is an incredibly faithful woman. I mean, I do love Martha. And he goes on to say to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Like, boom. I mean, he just lays it on her. And, you know, keep in mind, this little New Testament family, they haven't yet known Jesus to die and be risen from the dead yet. They don't know. And they don't know that
they don't even know what he's referring to.
Yeah. So that's like, okay. But Martha says, and we have a record of her faith and testimony. Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Whoa. I mean, this is an amazing woman. And again, she has not yet seen Jesus die and come back to life, but she is like convinced. So she has great faith. But anyway, the story goes on and Martha sends word and says, Jesus is summoning you. But But she tells her in secret, I don't know why Martha feels like she has to tell that to Mary in secret, except that maybe she's afraid Mary's going to cause a scene. This is just my guess. This is like, I know when I go to a restaurant with my family, they're always like, shh, mom, don't cause a scene. Like, they don't like me to bring them birthday presents at restaurants because like I want to cause a scene. So I just picture Mary is much more demonstrative or feelings or something. So Martha's like just in secret, like, Jesus is summoning you, which again, Martha has to meet him on the road, but Jesus summons Mary. So he is tuned into her broken heart. Mm-hmm. The brother's dead.
Right.
So what's interesting is, so then it says also Mary has a little support group. So she's there with her friends because it says, you know, the Jews who are with her in the house are comforting her. So Mary has a support group. Martha doesn't. She's self-sufficient.
Right.
But Mary has a little group of people. And anyway, it says, Mary then went to Jesus and saw him, and she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The exact same words Martha said, but in a different posture and in a different manner. Martha's kind of fussing and Mary's broken and at his feet. And I think the picture I get of Mary over and over is she's a very broken woman. Mm-hmm. We don't know her whole story, but I see a lot of brokenness in her. She's very distraught a lot. So she's more weeping. And, then when Jesus sees her weeping, do you know what he does? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. You know the one coming?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. That's right. Jesus isn't weeping because Lazarus is dead. He's weeping because he loves these people and he sees their pain. Mm-hmm. He's weeping at Mary's broken heart.
He's not surprised.
And he's not surprised. And of course, the next part of the story is that he does, in fact, raise Lazarus from the dead. We don't hear peep out of the sisters again on that particular thing, but Lazarus is raised from the dead. What an incredible just foreshadowing of what Christ is going to do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, to beat him. But here's something neat. There's another story of them.
Okay.
So I've given you, there's the classic story.
Sure.
Then there's the raising of Lazarus. But there's one more, John 12. Get this. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he'd raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. Get this. And Martha served. It's like she hadn't learned a thing. She's still serving because Martha is Martha.
Right.
So Jesus
She's a go-getter. She's an organizer.
You know, told her and Mary's doing a better thing, but she's still serving because somebody still has to put the dinner on the table and it's Martha.
Yes.
This woman is faithful. So I still love her. But this is what is happening in contrast. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Mm. How many of you guys, you know, use essential oils?
Right.
Can't you just imagine the fragrance? We're talking about a year's worth of wages is what this oil cost. This is an extravagant act of worship. Now, picture this too. She's wiping his feet with her hair. Well, I know that that was a certain tenderness and all, but I also, there's a part of me thinking, this was a spontaneous act of worship. Was she unprepared? Did she not like bring a cloth to like anoint his feet? She's like, I'll just use my hair. Like she is so, this is so just, she's probably really not thinking ahead because again, they could have used this money maybe differently, but we know in her spirit, she is anointing him as the savior.
Right.
He is
she
going
wants to
die,
serve him.
And it's again, a foreshadowing because these oils, this is like burial, ceremonial preparation and all this. And I don't even know if she knows that, but she's just doing this. Now, what's so neat is that, of course, the disciples fuss. Oh, you know, this could have been used and given to the poor. And Jesus says, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Mm. They still don't even know he's going to die. Right. And so let her alone. And then it goes on and there's this bonus in Mark that just, this is what gets to me. Mark, another gospel writer, will say, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, wait a minute. The Bible over and over spotlights Jesus. But in this one instance, Jesus is going back to what Mary had done. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm picturing a broken woman. Mm-hmm. She's not getting the dinner on the table. People are fussing at her. She's got a support group. She cries a lot. I don't know. Right. She's kind of a mess. She had broken this oil, puts it on his feet and everything. And Jesus says that that act would be remembered wherever the gospel is preached? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a message for eternity. And I just am kind of like still a little taken back that of all the little heroes of the faith he could have pointed out, he points a little light at Mary for just a minute. Like, it's okay with him that she's a mess.
Yes.
Like, he really is okay with that and loves her despite her. Like, maybe he just loves that she so needs him, because this is what I'm picturing is a needy woman.
Oh, I'm thinking of homeschool moms all over the country right now.
So anyway, that's the context of this talk, is you got to know these sisters.
Yes, yes. So, okay, so the workshop that you do is titled Mary and Martha Decide to Homeschool. Right? I love this, because as you're talking about Mary, I'm thinking of, We're probably split down the middle between homeschool moms. You know, the moms that I talk to, many of them are Mary, many of them are Martha. Mm-hmm. And there are so many aspects and personality traits from each one of them. So can we talk a little bit more about that? Mm-hmm. Because I want to figure out, like, who
personalities.
Am I? Who am I? Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me today who I am.
Oh, well,
am I
just Mary, wait. We have a quiz.
Now, you've
coming.
Gotten to know me a little bit, so you might already have an idea of who you think I am.
And I'm a giveaway too. By the way, I'm already speaking, but let's hold that thought. Okay. Let's go through the personalities. Let's kind of dissect them. And I got a little professional help with this one, because there is a man named Anthony Gregoric who writes about these learning styles. And so based on some of his, mm-hmm. I've applied his findings to Mary and Martha.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't do the Mary and Martha part. That was just for me. But he would say, let me back up a minute, that people by personality typically are either concrete or they're abstract. Mm-hmm. So let's pause. Concrete meaning, some people really thrive and bloom and grow on very tangible things, mm-hmm. black and white, right or wrong, A, B. I mean, they're just concrete. Mm-hmm. So they manage things well. Then the abstract person is all over the place. Mm-hmm. The abstract is really engrossed in the intangibles, the non-measurables. Mm-hmm. So they're inspired by beauty, love, peace, things you can't touch and hold, but that mean something. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have two very different. So people typically are concrete or abstract, but on top of that, there's a way that people process those things. And they process them typically either sequentially, which is in order, or randomly, mm-hmm. which is absolutely no order. So let's go back to those definitions. Obviously, the sequential person finds natural order, logical. Mm-hmm. There's an A, there's a B, there's a C, there's mm-hmm. a 1, there's a 2, there's a 3. And in fact, to violate that is rocking the universe. You know what I mean? This person is tight ship.
Yep.
The random person is actually so confined by that. The random person doesn't operate well, because the random person, they're just all over the place. And mm-hmm. it's like they're going to go with what feels right next, mm-hmm. not what's logical at all. So it's a collision of views and handling. So what I have in my, what I've derived of Mary and Martha from the New Testament is that I think that if you put a concrete sequential together, mm-hmm. those are all the thinkers of this world. I think that's Martha. Mm-hmm. I just think that's her. And they tend to be very task oriented.
Yes.
And then if you were to put together the abstract as well as the random, well, you got a hot mess. And that's pretty much Mary. All right. Those are just what I derive from these sisters, mm-hmm. from what we can get. And, you know, I haven't met them, but I can't wait to get to heaven to meet them. But I think that that's what they are. And so, again, Anthony Gregoric has defined those four. And now some people, there's a few random people that crisscross onto some mm-hmm. of those. But I'd say most people, if they're concrete, they're also sequential. Mm-hmm. And most people, if they're abstract, they're also random. So we're really talking left brain, right brain. You're talking about free spirits versus the non.
Which we need both in the world in order to function.
Yeah. In a nutshell, I'll just call them thinkers and feelers. Mm-hmm. That's an easier way to look at it. And everybody thinks and everybody feels, but in two mm-hmm. different degrees. So let's just generalize thinkers, feelers. So now that I've said all that, let's go back to Martha.
Okay.
As a thinker, that means she's very task oriented. And oh my goodness, I know this Martha well. This is my story of Martha. I know this Martha well because my mother is a Martha extraordinaire. My sister is a Martha. My firstborn is a Martha. My husband has Martha qualities in that there's a lot of things that are very precise. So let me give it away now. I am so not that, okay? I'm going to be a Mary. Let me confess now. I'm a Mary all the way through. So that means my entire mm-hmm. life, I've been surrounded mm-hmm. by Marthas. And in comparison, they're the efficient people. They're the logical people. They're the people that you want to get a job done, you give it to them kind of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't measure up. I mean, mm-hmm. at least that's kind of how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like I've been, you know, like whatever. So that's been my problem. I've been like kind of surrounded by that. And some other examples of that is, like, let's go back to my mother again. She was a great mother in how she, like, took care of us because she liked to clean, she liked to cook, and she's well-organized, and the pantry was stocked. But it meant that if it was time for dinner, it's time for dinner. It doesn't matter how pretty it is outside. If you want to ride bikes, no. It's dinner now, kind of a person. She wanted things done a certain way. So all to say, I was very cared for and loved by what my mother did for us. That's her gift. It's, she is a servant through and through, never complaining.
Right.
Okay. So that's all, like, beautiful. But I'm not any of those things.
So let me ask you a quick question then about her. Did she, you said she was a servant through and through. Did she have more of a servant, hospitable heart, or did she do those things because it was the thing that needed to be done?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. Both. Okay. I would say both. Yeah, okay. Because it was with joy she did those things.
So she had a little bit of Mary in her, too.
Oh, yeah, because she strongly loved us and all that. But it was going to express itself through Martha things.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's just the right thing to do. Okay. So let me now transition to the Mary definition and the Mary personality. By what I've just described, I think Mary's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I think she's abstract and random. And so what that looks like is that she's very driven by feelings to a fault. They are the higher calling. And see, Martha, the higher calling is getting the job done. She's a thinker.
Right.
But for Mary, the higher calling is really paying attention to her heart. It just is. It's the higher calling. And so Mary can put feelings above a task. That doesn't mean she's a loser. She's not lazy, but she can rank things differently.
Sure.
She's a free spirit and she's all over the place. She runs late. Forget a planner. I mean, I'm notoriously late. Truthfully, she's really not the most responsible woman. She's not the person you want to pile on too much responsibility because it really just may not get done.
Right.
But it's really, like, okay with her, which is what Martha can never understand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mother just doesn't understand that, you know. So in contrast, how I said my mother very much loved just by what she did for us. And that's just true. I really don't have a servant heart. I hate to admit it. Now, I love people. I'm a people person, but, like, I don't love people by what I do for them. I love people by the experience I'm going to have with them.
Oh,
okay. It's just a little bit different.
Yes. Okay.
Because in my mind, I guess I'm like, well, you can get the ketchup. I mean, I just don't need to jump up out of my chair where my mother would, because I don't know, that's like an act of love for her. And I'm like, but because I'm, there's so much abstract, as in so much feeling. Everything's intangible, but my values are love, joy, beauty, peace. That means what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to invest time with you. I may counsel you. I write. I'm going to journal. I'm going to ride bikes at sunset and let dinner get cold. I mean, I'm going to be spontaneous. It goes on and on. Whereas, you know, like, spontaneity and my mom, like, those just whatever. Which, by the way, I have her permission to completely give her as an example, because she's the most precious Martha ever. And we have done one of these sessions together.
Oh, fun.
And the little quiz I have coming is all based on my mom. And she totally loves this. So I'm not picking on my mom, because she knows absolutely how much I love her. And let me say this, too. We've both grown a little as we've aged. I've probably become more of a Martha, and she's probably become more of a Mary.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Sure.
I mean, you know, because we all have some of this. But anyway, again, so being a Mary, and eventually we'll get to homeschool with it, but it meant clearly I'm a softy mom who's going to struggle with boundaries. I'm going to struggle with, you know, discipline. I'm going to struggle with rules. Because inside, I don't like any of that.
Right.
Routine and schedule actually just saps life out of me. It stifles me. I want freedom. I want creativity. I want, I'm all that.
And yes.
So where Martha's going to get the job done. So can you just imagine them in homeschool?
Right.
I mean, you've got two very different homes. So anyway, I think that you need to go to your little sponsor thing.
Yes. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is brought to you by Libromania, a podcast for book lovers from the Close Reads Podcast Network and the Searcy Institute. Through conversations with contemporary novelists, poets, and biographers, as well as collectors, designers, and others, Libromania is for the person who believes that good books are an essential part of the good life. For more information, go to closereadspods.com or subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you dial up your favorite podcasts. So let's bring it back to homeschooling. And how does being a Mary or a Martha relate to us as homeschool moms?
Okay. Now, again, I know I'm generalizing a little bit here. Give me some grace on that. But I could give you just four little snapshots, I think, of what this means a Martha looks like as a homeschool mom. Okay. All right. So you're ready? So I would say, number one, this is the gal with lesson plans pre-made. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In advance.
She's the Pam Barnhill.
Yeah. Field trips, she can handle them. She's the co-op leader.
Uh-huh.
And she should be. Like, this is the woman. Again, she's going to get it done.
Yep.
I would also say she might follow the classical model of education because we all know it's the hardest. It's a lot of preparation. I would say she, again, can run that homeschool co-op very well. Mm-hmm. And in my imagination, because I don't know, I'm not one, but I would imagine her homeschool is lined with filing cabinets,
right?
And there's a place for everything.
Yes.
So whereas,
and a timeline on her wall.
Oh yeah, it actually on the wall. Yeah. Now, in contrast, if we dropped Mary in to a homeschool world, and maybe this is just me, but she doesn't have the lesson plans. She runs late for the field trips. One year I was a field trip coordinator, and it was a mistake because it's like I had to make all the phone calls and it didn't go very well. I like them because I like the adventure and the spontaneity, but I need somebody else to organize it.
Right.
I would also say she's more inclined to follow an unschooling or eclectic approach because, for one, she buys everything. She's feelings oriented, right?
Right.
So she can't make a decision.
Right.
She can't just pick one.
Right.
And she's all over the place. Let's see. I would also say you really don't want her in charge of your homeschool co-op, but you want her there on the committee to welcome the new people.
Oh, yes.
Because she's going to pray and counsel and share and love on them. That will come very natural to her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, running the meetings, I don't know. And then last, I would say her classroom is lined with artwork that she intends to frame one day, but you know it's never going to happen. You know how hard it is to frame those little things, the mementos that you think you're going to frame. So I just have a little tip, Mary Lou. So if you hang it up with one piece of scotch tape, you know what happens in time is those tops curl and then that little piece of artwork is curly. So just give up the idea that you're going to hang it in a frame because you're not, neither are you going to scrapbook, but hang it with two pieces of tape and it'll last a lot longer.
Nice.
And you're great. And then one
tip
day
of the
when
day.
They all, yeah, tip of the day. That was free.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I love it. Love it. So, okay. So in regards to actually homeschooling and figuring out who we are, you have a quiz.
I do have a quiz.
So let's do
you have a pen?
I do have a pen, actually.
Why don't I give you the quiz?
Okay.
And let's see.
I haven't heard these questions yet.
I know.
So
I'm springing them on you.
Okay.
Just raw.
I have to write this down?
You do.
Okay.
So for your listeners, I'll explain what I'm doing. I have 20 questions.
Okay.
So I'll try to go through them fast.
Okay.
20 questions. And really, you either give yourself a minus one or a plus one.
Okay.
Depending on what I
read. So I need to write down 1 through 20?
Yeah, right. 1
so they should pause
20.
The podcast right now.
Yes, that might be
helpful.
Go
get a piece of paper.
Yeah, and Mary,
okay.
Paper. You got to go find paper. And
do
you
I need to double space this?
No. Just a quick 1 through 20.
Okay.
And if you're with a friend named Martha, she has a pen and paper for you.
Right.
Now, you know, Mary actually didn't make it on time to the podcast either.
Right.
You know, she's not here. She's getting she's watching it later.
Okay.
Listening later.
All right.
But, yeah, 1 through 20, I'll run through these quick and you're going to go minus one or plus one. And then we're going to add them up at the end.
Okay.
And then we will, I have a scale.
Okay.
It'll show you like where you lean.
Okay.
And by
minus
the way, you,
one or plus one?
Yeah, minus ones or plus ones. So you either get negatives or positives.
Okay.
And by the way, if you wind up with a zero, you're like the perfect person. You're right in between.
Okay. Now,
you're
I don't
balance.
Enjoy math. Am I going to have to add these at the end?
You will.
Okay.
You
can I
it.
Use my calculator?
If you need to.
Okay.
But you know. Okay. So number one.
Okay.
If more often than not your library books are overdue, give yourself a minus one. Because what that means is that you're probably a Mary.
Okay.
So see, Mary gets
Got
the
it.
Minus ones. Okay. So that's it. Now, by the way, I'm notorious for being late at the library.
Yes.
Library books. It doesn't matter how many times I write
no.
it down on the calendar. I just can't do it. And
I
of
know.
Course, as homeschoolers, we take them by the
basketballs. Right.
And so I always,
and
I just
inevitably
decided.
Inevitably, one's going to get lost under the couch.
I just decided it was a handling fee.
Yeah.
And just paid them. So, okay, number two, if you have ever menu planned for a month or have several meals in the freezer, give yourself a plus one. Because that's a Martha.
So do I give myself a zero? Because that
just give yourself
has
a zero.
Never happened.
Yeah, if you have never menu planned for a month and you don't have meals in the freezer, Yeah, okay. If you don't, just put a zero. But okay. If you have that, give yourself a plus one.
No, never done that.
Okay, number three. If your family assumes you'll run late or you relate to this workshop, because I usually do this in a workshop, give yourself a minus one. Okay. So the family just knows you'll be late. Get you minus one.
Always late.
Okay, number four. If your shirts or shoes are organized by color, give yourself a plus one. See, I'm describing my mom. Mm. Everything's color-coded in her closet. There's no way that's happening in my closet.
Okay.
Number... Let's see. Number five. If you're a curriculum junkie because it's so hard to sell the old stuff, you get a minus one. So you're a curriculum junkie. You can't part with it. Because you know how hard it is to sell curriculum on the internet?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. You have to have all those ISBN numbers. That's a minus one if you can't do it.
Okay. I gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Number six. If you're an extreme couponer, or at least close to it, you get a plus one. That's a Martha thing with those coupons.
I don't have time for that.
I've decided coupons. I mean, why do they want to pay me for cutting out little pieces of paper? Right. I just really don't understand it. I just go, if there's a tag and it's yellow, then it costs less and I buy three. I mean, I just coupons, I throw them away. I can't do it.
I like your logic there.
I can't do it.
Neither can I.
I know. No. Now, and I know some gals that would beat me up for that, but they're good at it. They're gifted and they should do it. But like, I'm not.
Because they're Martha's.
So I'm giving it up.
Right.
Number seven, if your to-do list is on the on the back of your hand or on an envelope or on a receipt, you get a minus one.
Okay,
confession, friends. I had to really work hard to give her this piece of paper. She's at my house and I had a hard time finding it. Aren't you glad I didn't give you an envelope?
Because I'd be writing this on my arm. I'd have to.
By the way, I don't know very many Marthas who write on the back of their hands, but this is a Mary thing. Oh. I sometimes wish Sharpie, I put an important note right there.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't.
You don't write on yourself?
I'm pretty certain I'm a Mary, but I do not write on my hands.
Okay.
I don't like my hands to be dirty.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's bothersome to me.
That's funny. Okay, number nine. If you scribe...
Eight. I think we're on eight.
Oh, don't listen to my numbers because I've moved some of these around.
Okay,
next. If you cry spontaneously to love songs on the radio or to hymns at church, give yourself a minus one.
Oh, no. I don't
cry. That's why you don't cry.
I am not a crier.
I weep. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Hymns. Yeah. I even asked my mom that question. She's like, well, no, I'm not going to cry. And she likes the hymns, but she's not going to cry over the hymns. Okay. Number 10. If you buy in bulk, but you work out of labeled containers that are just the right size for your cabinets or cupboards, you get a plus one.
So if
you're that lady, you know, you go to Costco, you buy in bulk, and then you have a place for it at home in smaller individual. Not me. I don't like that. But that's my mom. Next, if you often start school in your pajamas and you do family read alouds from your bed, which is unmade, well, you get a minus one. There's just nothing like Charlotte's Web in the sheets.
Right.
From the sheets. I love read alouds in the big bed unmade.
And that was a minus one?
That's a minus one because that's a Mary thing.
Got it.
Next, if you organize small parties or meetings on an Excel spreadsheet, you get a plus one. I think that Martha and Excel go well together.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next one. If you save the baby teeth of your children, give yourself a minus one.
Does a pregnancy test count? Because the
sure, I'll let you have that as a bonus.
I have saved my pregnancy. Is that disgusting? I shouldn't admit that on the podcast.
I have my kids' baby teeth. You know what happens over time?
Yeah,
they break apart, but I have them. I can tell you where they are. They're in these little containers in my bedroom. Here's my theory. I feel like, listen. Those baby teeth are like medals of honor.
Right.
Because you know how hard it was for them to get those teeth?
Well, that's how I feel about the pregnancy test. 11 stinking years it took me to get a positive pregnancy test.
That's why you kept it.
I had many, many negative ones. So after that many years to get a positive one,
you keep that,
it's still
honey.
In a Ziploc. I at least put it in a Ziploc.
Okay, that's fine. That's right, because you tinkled on it.
I think I even washed them off.
But yeah, these baby teeth, like we should make jewelry or something out of these teeth. Because it's like me and that baby in the middle of the night, we were cutting those teeth together.
I will not make a necklace out of my pregnancy test, I promise.
Okay.
That would be gross. Where were we?
Oh, yeah, that's a minus one. And you're getting one for having a pregnancy test. Like, I'll have to change my test.
Okay.
Okay. We just got a few more. If you had a shopping list for a homeschool convention before you went, you get a plus one.
Oh, no.
Or maybe you just know what you're going to, you know, use next year. If you pray often for God's mercy because of mistakes that you've made, you get a minus one.
Mm.
See, again, I think... By the way, let me insert this little thing about Mary. You know, sometimes I think when pastors talk about Mary and Martha and they talk about Mary at the feet of Jesus, I think they make her out to be this very saintly, holy woman. And I'm like, you know, Martha was the faithful one who's not going to break the rules and get into mischief. But Mary, I don't think she was at Jesus' feet because she was so holy. My personal theory is I think she was a very broken woman with a lot of sin in her life who was at his feet out of pure worship and need. And so, again, if you're the woman praying for God's mercy a lot because you really, you know, you don't keep healthy boundaries easily. Right. You do make mistakes, big ones. I think that's a Mary thing.
Okay.
So anyway, I just think that's a misunderstanding of her at his feet. It's not because she's this little.
Right.
I think it's more like,
She needs Jesus.
She needs Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Next, on a much lighter note, if you set up the coffee pot or tea before you go to bed at night, you get a plus one. When I go home to see my mother, this always happens. She'll be like, "Hey, honey, so do you want to set the coffee up tonight?" I'm like, why would I do today what I can do tomorrow? And she, though, would set her teapot up at night before she goes to bed. So then in the morning, she just has to turn it on. Oh, like she's got a little cup, she's got a little tea. Right. And I just don't do that.
No, I don't either.
My oldest daughter, who I told you is a Martha, really. Mm-hmm. And that's because she started making her own lesson plans in fifth grade. That's when I figured that out. I wasn't making them. She started making her own. I'm like, oh, you need more structure. Yeah. Oh. So anyway, she told me like a week ago, I kid you not. She's like, oh, by the way, because she's got this new workout routine. And she's like, I'm just making the coffee like at night, but not turning it on, but have it already. And I just busted out loud. I'm like, you are a Martha.
Just like
because you're doing it at night before you go to bed, which is a great idea. But I'm just not in my universe. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay. Sorry.
Why do today what you could put off till tomorrow?
That's kind of. And I think this is. Almost there. If you unpack the same day that you get home from a trip, I think you get a plus one. Because the end of a trip?
No.
I'm going to unpack my hair products.
Right.
My toothbrush, and that's about it. The rest is going to sit for a couple of days.
Right.
Just beat. I can't do that.
Nope.
But Martha, it is sorted. Yeah. It is, my husband unpacks the day he gets home. I mean, it's put away. If one lunch this week was a half-eaten granola bar that you found at the bottom of your purse, you get a minus one. Because, see, again, Mary isn't thinking of time. Time is a tangible thing, and she's into intangibles. Mm-hmm. That's why she runs late. She doesn't manage time well. So she forgot she was leaving to run an errand.
Right.
Near noon when she should be hungry. Or, you know, it's not on her radar.
Right.
So lunch is the granola bar.
Yeah.
Bottom of the purse. If you offer your house guests a hot breakfast, you get a plus one. I think that's kind of a Martha thing now. Friends, she spent the night with me last night and she got boiled eggs this morning, but I don't know if that counts as a hot breakfast.
I think that counts.
You didn't get like pancakes and the whole. Mm-mm.
I think it counts. They were delicious.
Well, okay. But I gave you like a buffet.
Yes. It was fantastic.
But Martha could do more than that. It was pretty.
It was pretty.
You know what? And by the way, some people listen to me giving this and they just kind of assume like maybe I'm just a disaster like around my house and stuff because,
but
you know, I'm claiming to be like a Mary who's all this stuff.
Your house is very orderly and comfortable.
Well, I'll tell you why I figured that out. Mary is inspired by beauty to the point that she might keep it kind of tidy.
Right.
Now, don't go looking in my drawers, Yvette.
Right.
Because they'll be real messy on the inside. But on the outside, it's kept kind of pretty because that does motivate me.
I
need that. So
my
space is, you know, kind of together.
Yes.
But that's different from, you know, they're different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, okay, we're getting closer.
Okay.
If you love spontaneous field trips that count for school, you get a minus one.
Oh, can I get like a minus 10 on that one?
You know, like, hey, look, there's a caterpillar digger next door.
Yes.
Digging up whatever. Let's count that
we
as
we travel full time.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean, right now, full time. The
every
other day we were driving
trip.
Through Texas and we came across Cadillac Ranch, which I had never heard of before. And it's this random place in the middle of the desert where this artist, he buried a bunch of Cadillacs in the ground. Like they're like standing halfway up.
Like Stonehenge?
Kind of, yes. But with Cadillacs.
I had to make it historical.
And then
I got a point.
Yes. And then it gets better because people take spray paint cans out there and you can spray paint on the Cadillacs. They've been there for like 40 something years.
I'm from Texas and I don't know
about Cadillac Ranch.
What part of Texas? Where is this?
Oh, I don't know.
In the panhandle?
Oh, no. Oh. But I don't know.
Okay.
Texas is huge.
It is huge.
So
I could have missed
it. It's somewhere in Texas.
That's a great
story. It's on Route 66. I can tell you that much. I couldn't tell you the town. But it's fascinating. And so there, I mean, it's this
where are we going
weird
with that?
Tourist
oh, field trip.
Spontaneous field trips. And so we drove by it and we both were like, whoa, stop the car. We have to go to Cadillac Ranch. And so
that's art.
And it was amazing. And our girls had a great time because they got to spray paint cars. Because who gets to do that? And that's fun.
That's neat.
Anyway, continue on. Thanks. I'm sorry. We've got one more.
Can you tell you got two Marys here? Sidetrack. Okay. And you said I had one more? Okay, one more. If you're carrying a planner right now, give yourself a plus one. Now,
does
this is
my
unfair because you're sitting right here at my kitchen table. But normally I'm often doing this at a convention.
Right.
And so if they have a planner on them, they get a point. So
okay.
Let's see.
Does a phone count as a planner?
Well, you've got a phone nearby.
I always have my phone
you always.
Near me, and I always have my planner on my phone. I can't.
Well, if your planner's on your phone, then.
Okay, so this is a plus one?
You got a plus one.
A plus one, okay.
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay, so now I need to add.
Yes, you add that up real quick, and I'm going to give you a scale. We'll find out what you are. Our listeners, I hope you'll be doing the same. And then based on your results, we have a couple closing remarks.
Okay, So I have negative four.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you said,
No,
what
no,
does
no,
that
no.
mean?
Actually, that means you want to me. Okay, so here's how it goes with the points. So if you are a minus 10 to a minus four,
okay.
you really are a Mary.
Oh, okay, I am a
so
Mary.
You are
as
a
you're
Mary.
Talking, I'm...
But you're a low-scoring Mary.
Okay, which means
higher.
I'm a little bit of Martha, too, right?
Yeah, okay. Or it's balanced. Yeah, because like a minus 10 is the
So you're saying I'm balanced
blown.
Is what you're really saying.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me show you. See, if you're a minus three to a plus three, you're really a Mary Martha mix.
Okay.
Which is very healthy. So you're real close to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have some tendencies.
Okay.
You're close, but you are a Mary.
Okay.
Now, if you scored a plus four to a plus 10, I think you really are a Martha.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's not what you scored. So like I literally would score a minus 10 on this.
Okay.
Oh. And my mother would score a plus 10.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like we are the very opposites. Everything
yes.
is a true story here on my little test.
Which is incredible because when we look at our children and how we educate our kids, and I love that you said with your daughter, you realized in fifth grade that she was a Martha. It's very helpful to understand our children's personalities, especially if they differ from our own. And that helps us to educate them better at home, because if we don't understand them and how they think and how they respond to life, if you're a Mary and you have a Martha for a child and you're trying to homeschool them in a Mary world, it will
frustrate
them. But and also the flip
and be disappointed.
Side. And if you're a Martha and you're trying to educate your Mary child,
you're making them cry.
You're going to make them cry and you're going to fight with them and battle with them. And it's going to be a constant battle between the two of you. So what's the answer? How do we incorporate this into our lives?
Here's what I would say is, first of all, I encourage, if you're a Martha, embrace that and always be a Martha. God is giving you gifts and talents. Go change the world and use them. And if you're a Mary, do the same. Embrace your Mary, because God gave you, maybe you're an empath, maybe you're feelings driven, and maybe that means life isn't always pristine and it can get messy sometimes. It does. A lot of drama can follow Mary.
Sure.
However, if that's how you're designed, embrace it and think about who Jesus said would be remembered in eternity at the same time the gospel would be preached. He was referring to Mary's extravagant act of worship.
Right.
The woman who is, again, appears to be a broken woman who truly loves him out of a deep need. And so it's like, if that's you, then just wear it and love it and let Jesus just be worshiped. I mean, she wiped his feet with her tears. And yes, I could cry about now thinking about that, because that moves me so much. Like I'm trying to imagine if I could see Jesus and how I would so want to fall before his feet that he ever saved me.
Right.
I mean, I am a broken woman. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and I've been redeemed. The gospel is good news. It is good news that Jesus saves.
That's right.
And so like Mary, just hold on to that and take a ride with that. And you're not going to get this homeschooling all done well.
Right.
You're just not. Farm out what you can. As a matter of fact, I have 10 tips for all Marys who are listening, and we can do that as a bonus time.
Okay.
But just in closing, for those who, you know, need to cut it, whichever you are, embrace it, because Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And what great plans he had, even in their crisis.
Yes.
And isn't that assuring that there's always plans. There's God's plans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lazarus dies and there's still a good plan that Jesus has out of that. So anyway, I just wanted to say that homeschooling, I think it's a Martha world. Mm-hmm. It's heavy in that. Yes. I think it attracts women who are self-sufficient. And so I have felt over the years, you know, like sometimes I just didn't measure up. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't go to bed feeling very successful all the time as a homeschool mom. And I had to adjust to my kids to get back to them. My kids were all far more structured than me.
Yeah.
I was the most free spirit of the family. So I had to step up. I needed to adapt. And sometimes I just had to step up. And that's what I will share as a couple of quick tips I have for Mary's. Like,
and I love that about you, because now your children are all grown. They're all married. Mm-hmm. You've got grandkids. And so I love that I can look at women like you who have been there, especially who have been a Mary, and you felt like you were messing it up, because we talk about that a lot. We talk about that in the movie. We talk about that on the podcast. I just had dinner with a couple friends the other night, and we all were talking about how we just feel like we're just messing it all up. I said, you know, it's so funny, because oftentimes people will come to me and ask me questions about homeschooling, and I can give them every reason why they should homeschool, but don't ask me how to homeschool, because I feel I'm a Mary, and I definitely always feel inadequate. I always feel like I'm messing it up. And God continues to show me over and over again that He's doing it. Mm-hmm. Now He's using me, and I still, like you said, I still have to be diligent. I can't just throw out my hands and say, oh, well, God's going to just do everything.
And
there's work to be done. But at the same time, God's going to fill in the gaps, and there are always going to be gaps. But it's so encouraging to me to talk to a mom like you who's been there, and now we can see the results of what your children have turned out to. You know, they are productive adults who love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I still think we could call ourselves a successful homeschool family. And
absolutely.
I have one last word. Some people might be listening going, and she's the one that wrote The Mystery of History. And in case that shakes your confidence in me, because like you're learning behind the scenes that I'm not an altogether woman. Well, that's because God, to God be the glory.
Amen.
That I ever authored The Mystery of History. But you know what? What drove those words? It was my feelings.
Mm.
So see,
right.
God didn't pick a Martha to write it. He picked a Mary.
That's right.
Because I think that history handled, you know, through some emotion and feeling, we better see His hand in it. So anyway, that's where the passion comes from. And so, but it was hard.
And you can see
you
that.
Imagine how hard it was for me to do this.
Totally.
I am always like, God, were you sure?
Yes.
But He was like, I got this, you know, because for one, it's about Him.
Right.
I didn't invent these stories. They're His stories. And so anyway, He was able to use something that the world might call weak.
Right.
Oh, but to shine on Him.
But He has used you in an amazing way. And we were just talking about this at dinner tonight. And I was saying the thing I love most about The Mystery of History is that it's easy for me as a homeschool mom to be able to use that curriculum, because really, I feel like I'm just kind of talking through it and having a conversation with my kids about it, instead of it being so rigid textbook. Because I'm a Mary, I am not a rigid textbook kind of girl.
Me either.
That drives me nuts. And for some, you know, for the Marthas out there, they love that and that works for them. Though The Mystery of History is
structure in it. Yeah,
yes, there's plenty of structure in it. And there are, I mean, you can take it in several different directions as far as how deep you want to go with it. But for me, it's great because I can see your emotion in it. Mm-hmm. I can see you didn't just take the facts and write them on a page.
Mm-hmm.
You brought meaning and feeling into it. Yes, and I love that about it. So, and it's all from a biblical perspective, which that's what it's all about for us. Mm-hmm. So, really quickly, let me ask you, you've got the quiz. Is this, we do, of course, show notes that people can refer to on the podcast. Do you have that quiz handy that we can send to people?
Well, the best way probably to get that, it would be if your listeners wanted to get hold of the workshop. I have this workshop recorded in full.
Oh, okay.
And then they can get a little bit more, and the quiz is a part of that.
Okay.
And then they can stop and start and take that. So yes, we can make sure that your listeners get a special coupon code. We'll put that in the notes.
Okay. Okay. So we'll put a coupon code in the notes and give them access to that. And then you can give them the final results of whether they're a Mary or a Martha or a Mary Martha.
Yes. That scale will be a part
of that. That is great. We are going to stop with the podcast, but for our Backstage Pass members, we're going to continue on, and you're going to talk about 10 tips. Mm-hmm. 10 quick tips for those of us who are
married
mm-hmm. homeschool mamas.
And Martha doesn't need to hear this
because she already knows what she's doing.
She's pretty natural at this. This right. is for the struggle in Mary. And they're just a few little things I did. I mean, these aren't like, yes. this isn't rocket science okay. here. These are just a few little things.
Okay. So we'll continue on with that for Backstage mm-hmm. Pass members. If you're not a Backstage Pass member yet, definitely go on the Schoolhouse Rocked website, go to Backstage Pass member, mm-hmm. And then you can learn more about what that is. And you have access to all kinds of amazing videos and content and stuff.
And please subscribe to my website too.
I was just going to ask.
TheMysteryOfHistory.com.
TheMysteryOfHistory.com yes. and send Linda really kind emails and tell her how wonderful she is, because I know that Marys need to hear those things.
Marys
have feelings. And sometimes I think people, I know we're way over time, but that's okay. I know sometimes people, they'll see your name on a book, you know, oh, this lady, Linda LaCour Hobar, wrote The Mystery of History. And you become almost a character to them mm. instead of a real person. Mm-hmm. And it's been so neat to just get to know you over the last couple of days. And though we've met before, but being in someone's home is completely different. And so, you know, we've lived with you for the last couple of days.
And I've gotten to know your girls. It. And that's a life changer for me, because it's all about those
They
kids.
Are.
When I get to meet the kids, that's the best part.
Yes.
I write for them.
Yep.
Your girls are precious.
So. Well, and they love you, yeah. and they were excited to hear your voice. and
attach me to the audio book.
Yes, yeah. yes, because we listen to your audio. But thank you for what you are doing for the homeschool community and for all that God is doing through you. It's all for His glory. So Amen. Thank you, Backstage Pass members. Continue on with the video. It will be available on Backstage Pass, and we'll talk about 10 tips for us Marys. And in the meantime, you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening today, and we will see you back here next week. Bye.